Today, not many people know what the Bible states about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and therefore, they are in danger of being deceived. This broadcast will provide you with the knowledge you need, so as not to be fooled by false Christs and false prophets.
The Faith Debate is on the World Wide Web at WFMD.com, keyword faith, sponsored by High Low Auto Sales and Tire Pros of Frederick.
On the day which Jesus returns, there will be a polar reversal. Isaiah 24:20 says, "The earth will crack and shatter and split open. The earth itself will stagger like a drunk, sway like a hut in a storm."
In this corner, weighing in with a master of divinity from Reformed Theological Seminary, Mix Master Troy Skinner. In this corner, weighing in with a PhD from Westminster Theological Seminary, the good doctor, Jace Broadhurst.
The world is weighed down by its sins. It will collapse and never rise again. Revelation 6:12 says, "There was a violent earthquake, and the sun became black like coarse black cloth, and the moon turned completely red like blood. The stars fell down to the earth, like unripe figs falling from the tree, when a strong wind shakes it. The sky disappeared like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved from its place. The polar flip will make the stars race across the sky."
When will the end of the world occur? Will it end at all? Or has it already ended in some sense? What does the Bible have to say about all this? The study of end times is also called eschatology, your word of the week. What should readers of the Bible hold as their eschatological view? Should Christians scour the newspaper looking for clues in the headlines of daily events? Or have all of the end times prophecies of the Bible already been fulfilled? These are the sorts of things that today's panel will touch upon on The Faith Debate. On this show this week, we have Jace Broadhurst and me, joined by blogger, podcaster, and seminary-trained Bible teacher, Travis Finley. His podcast is called Rethinking Revelation. So, what are we to make of the end of the world as we know it? Let me start with Jace and just to lay out some of the broad categories. Christians in America would fall into various groups. And I'll throw out some labels and you can help and you can jump in when you want, Travis. But I'm going to put Jace on the spot first. So we've got people that are dispensational, amillennial, postmillennial. You got pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. You got all these different things that people read, the Left Behind series by Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins and the Kirk Cameron movies and things like that. They're somewhat familiar with some of this. Those are most of them. Well, I didn't throw out, there's people who hold a preterist view or a partial preterist view.
You might want to mention that one. Yeah.
You know, all of these different, so there are those who are futurists. You know, what are some of the labels that we need to know about? And let's try to flesh those out a little bit, and then we'll narrow down.
Well, it sounds like you've already mentioned most of the label. What we've done is, when you've talked about eschatology, you've talked about the last days. And what most people understand by last days or by the end of time is something future to us, something that we are waiting to happen. That is, Jesus will come back. You know, we're talking from a Christian perspective here. Jesus will come back. He will either, you talked about Jerry Jenkins and LaHaye. He will rapture his people. They'll disappear. You know, clothes will be left on the ground. Airplanes will crash, all of those kinds of things. And that seems to be the popular perspective of how Christians understand things on that particular last day, whatever that day is.
In this country, anyway.
In this country. Exact. Very true. Yeah. So that last thing that's going to happen is that rapture, and then, you know, there's going to be a time. Some, you mentioned post-millennial, millennial, pre-millennial. There's going to be a millennium, a thousand-year reign of some kind, whether it's literal or not literal. These are all huge questions. But, and maybe we can talk about every one of those if you really wanted to do each of those things. But I think when we talk about eschatology, we probably need to back up and say we're not talking about something that's going to take place in the future necessarily or only. We're talking about eschatology as Paul would have understood it or as John would have understood it, since the last days have begun for them in some sense. Last days are once the king has begun to reign. So eschatology, you know, a lot of Christians say, well, I don't care about the millennium. It's just, it's all going to pan out in the end. I'm a pan millennialist, right? It's all going to pan out in the end. But eschatology is bigger. Yeah, thank you. eschatology is bigger than something that's going to happen later on. It is an approach to understanding the Bible. All of the Bible is eschatological. We're all talking about what's coming. So for the prophets and stuff, you know, it's an eschatological view that God is coming back, that there's God is going to come and he's going to judge. He's the great day of the Lord. That's all eschatological. And that's not all future. Jesus fulfills a lot of those things, or at least there are different perspectives on that. Some people would say that. But so for me, eschatology is important, not because it's something that's going to happen in a million years or 2,000 years or imminently, but because it's something that is happening and has been happening the last days. And I can get a lot more into that, but I don't want to keep
right
going.
Now, in a general sense, is there something that you would want to add, Travis, that would help us understand generally what's being talked about with eschatological views?
Yeah, we can't even say it very well. Eschala.
It's early.
It is.
I think that if we think about the Bible's teaching on the end times, and from a traditional perspective.
I'm getting close to the microphone. Hello, microphone. Nice to meet you.
So when we talk about eschatology in a traditional sense, I think most people think of how the world is going to end. And eschatology, we break those down into two Greek words, eschatos, meaning last, logos, meaning the study of. It's the study of last things, but we have certain ideas in our minds that rule and reign our way of thinking, so that we have knee-jerk reactions and knee-jerk responses to, oh, I know what that topic is. And so a lot of the things that I'm going to say today, I'm going to say without qualification, because we just don't have enough time we just don't, you know. So I'm going to say things that are going to probably hit people upside the head in an abrupt way that will make things sound almost incredible. If you're coming from a traditional perspective, some of the things I'm going to say, you're going to think, what is this guy talking about? I've never even heard this before.
I'm already there.
Yes, but eschatology. So if we talk what I'd like to say about eschatology is this, that if you want to define eschatology as the study of last things, I'll agree with that. If you want to say the study of eschatology is the study of how time will end, I'm going to agree with that. If you're going to say eschatology is how the world is going to end, I'm going to agree with that. The problem is what you mean by time and what you mean by world is not what I mean.
And that's always the case on this show. I've been doing it. It took me a few years of doing the faith debate to realize that it's all about defining your terms,
yeah,
no matter what the issue is.
And that's exactly it. And if you're married, or if you've been in relationships at all with people, the biggest segue into conflict is communication. I mean, I deal with this all the time with my kids. I say, I jump into the conversation and I say, slow down. You're yelling at each other because you don't know what she's saying. What he's telling you, you don't. And I'm sitting in the back and I can hear her. They don't understand each other. And that makes people upset and angry and hostile and tense. And so, yeah, the whole thing is communication. We have to define our terms.
It seems like we're already expecting people to be very hostile to about to say, huh?
Well, I think that I would agree, and here's why. I'm going to guess that the listener right now, if they hold a end times view at all, the listener to this show probably is dispensational.
Yeah.
Because that is the pop Christian American view. That's what Hollywood likes to focus on. Those are the best-selling, you know, end times rapture kind of books and that sort of stuff. And so that's where most people probably are. And I don't think any of us in this room fall into that category, right? None of us are dispensationalists.
I'm a recovering dispensationalist.
Okay. So, well, then I was going to do it, but you'll do a better job. In like 60 seconds, you know, what is the – because we're not going to spend a lot of time on dispensationalism, mm-hmm. but I do want to at least touch on it. So in like 60 seconds, what are the main things that dispensationalists would hold that are true? Because I think it'll provide a relief, a backdrop for some of the other things we talk about.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to biblical interpretation, interpreting the Bible's story. So dispensationalism deals with, if you want to go to the farthest, you know, spectrum, that throughout history from Genesis onward, God deals with humanity in certain ways. And when we see him deal with Adam, it's one way. When we see him deal with Noah, Abraham, David, Moses, prophets, and Israel, God develops his relationship with his people. And so dispensationalism talks about those different dispensations, how God dispenses his revelation, revealing himself to humanity. Dispensationalism, I think, I would say, probably has a high view of Israel. And so the major tenet in modern eschatology still holds forth.
And when you say high view of Israel, you're talking about geopolitical Israel mostly, correct?
Well, yeah, but there's this idea that Israel is still the chosen people of God, and that there is a future for them in our future, so that God is going to bring back Israel into the fulfillment of the promises that he gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So that in dispensationalism, there is a parenthesis, there's this pause in history that was supposed to happen in Jesus' time. But because the people rejected the Messiah, and that wasn't supposed to happen, God had to have an alternate plan. And again, there's a wide spectrum of dispensationalism, progressive dispensationalism. I heard another term this last week on. I'm like, what in the world? But so, yeah. So dispensationalism then would be labeled in terms of their expectation of eschatology still futurist. That is, they still see in the future fulfillments of biblical expectations, and that is going to involve Israel on a large scale.
And then usually it plays out into speculation about the tribulation. Will Christians be around for what the dispensationalists identify as the tribulation? Or will they be raptured away before the tribulation, during the middle of the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation?
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of the debate among dispensationalists ends up. I don't know if it's more of an intramural debate at that point, I guess. And it's fun, it's speculative, and it's makes for good, exciting books with good chase scenes and, you know, clearly defined good guys and clearly defined bad guys and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, I wanted to clarify again, I'll just make sure, I think we're on the same page, but because I think there's a future for Israel too, but I think that Christians are Israel. So now, before I get accused of being a replacement guy, I'm not saying that the church replaces Israel. I'm saying that Israel and the church kind of mean the same thing from my point of view. But that's not what dispensationalists would say. They would say that they're talking about the Jewish people, the nation state of Israel, the religious organization that is Judaism, that those identifying that subgroup of humanity is going to have a reconnection with their Lord. That's kind of what I understand the focus of a dispensational outlook. When they talk about the Jews are going to be called back, when Israel's going to be called back, that's what they mean. Am I misunderstanding that? Is that fair? Do I have it right?
Yeah. But I would take that back to the biblical story. They're reading the Old Testament with its central focus on this plot of land and this particular group of people. that received promises from God, that this particular way of interpreting the Bible doesn't see fulfillment happening the way they thought it was going to. So in order for God to be true and every man a liar, God has to keep his word. So that's the expectation, is that Jesus comes on the scene, he proclaims the kingdom, and the response of the Jews at large affects the success of that campaign. And the Messiah is killed and all of those things. So that wasn't the way it was supposed to happen, right? Peter says to Jesus, you're not going to die. What are you talking about? So it's all about expectation, but I think it's also all about presuppositions. That is, what they thought was going to happen is based on what they understand the story itself to be about. So what you assume the story is about to begin with affects how you're going to interact with what happens either in your time or if you think it's in the future. You know, this is how we're going to understand these things when they come about. So it's all a matter of, I think, consistency in terms of how the Bible tells its story.
And that's the voice of Travis Finley. He has a he's a blogger. He has a podcast called Rethinking Revelation. I'm Troy Skinner. This is the Faith Debate on 930 WFMD. And Dr. Jace Broadhurst from Poolsville Baptist Church is here as well. Maybe you can sound a note on the track of church history broadly over the last 2,000 years, because this premillennial dispensational thing is relatively new kid on the block. Comparatively to 2,000 years. So I've always understood it was maybe possibly more of a post-millennial view through a large swaths of the church history. Do I have that right, do you think?
I don't know the question. I don't know the answer to that. I'm not a historian in any sense, but I know that we do talk about premillennialism as coming on the scene rather late. There have been, it's not that the whole concept has come very late. There has been Killeyism for a long time. So, the early patristics talk about some of those things, but it doesn't look like dispensational thinking that we have today. It doesn't look like this return to Israel, specifically national Israel, this Zionist perspective. That's a relatively new thing on the scene. I don't know about whether postmillennialism or amillennialism or
I would go back and say that I think from early on the church was premillennial, historically premillennial. Now, what you started your question with was the distinction between dispensational premillennialism and historic premillennialism. And so the dispensational goes into a different aspect of not just the end times, but the whole interpretation of the Bible. So then postmillennialism, I think, is going to be predominantly the church perspective. If you think about the Reformation and then post-Reformation era with the Puritans, they were postmillennial. And some people trace amillennialism back to Augustine. But I remember at least being directed to understand that Gerhardus Voss talked about the nuances of amillennialism in the early part of the 20th century. So they were tying that distinction from postmillennialism into amillennialism, that transition that happened in the early part of the 20th century. And I remember in seminary being told that was highly the responsibility and the result of the First World War, because postmillennialism expected the world to get better under the influence of Christianity.
Right. I might want to jump in because we're using buzzwords
terms, yes.
and the typical person probably isn't all that familiar. And I'm just using myself as a gauge because a number of years ago, I wasn't the strange person that I am now, and I wouldn't have known what you're talking about. So as a general rule of thumb, we're talking about the pre, post, whatever, millennial, we're talking about the anticipated return of Jesus is normally what we're talking about there. So if Jesus is going to return at the end of the millennium age, then that he's going to come post-millennium. And so the post-millennial view would be that things are going to get better and better and better until Jesus comes and is ushered into his eternal kingdom. I'm using very broad brushstrokes, but I think that that's pretty close. And then premillennial is Jesus is going to arrive, and then the millennium happens. And amillennial means that there's not a literal thousand-year millennial period, it doesn't mean that there's not a millennium, but it means it's more of a spiritualized understanding of what the millennium is. And so we're talking about pre, post. It all has to do with when Jesus is going to be coming back. Do I get that pretty close?
Well, yeah, that's the secondary issue. I think actually what I would like to say in terms of what we should understand about millennialism is the kingdom. Okay, so again, with historic premillennialism and then dispensational premillennialism is an expectation of the presence of the kingdom. So that when Christ comes and he says the kingdom of God is at hand, he is going to inaugurate, he's going to start the fulfillment of the Old Testament expectation of the Messiah who's going to sit on David's throne forever and ever. But that doesn't happen. And so then premillennialism says that we have to have the fulfillment of the prophecies of the kingdom. And the millennium is that time period. You know, Revelation 20 talks about the millennium. And so then Christ comes back before the millennium starts because it can't start without him. You can't start without the main guy. So he has to come back before that, and then he starts the kingdom. So in the very basest sense, there is no kingdom of God right now in the premillennial dispensational view.
Right, that's the eschatological hope, is that the kingdom will one day begin
right
when he returns.
Right, and the premillennials have attended, like we mentioned, that the postmillennials are more optimistic that things are going to get better and better and better. And
because of the presence of the kingdom, though. So then when you go into the postmillennial aspect,
right,
they understand that Christ didn't just come and want to start something. He actually started it. He inaugurated the kingdom, and there is a presence of the kingdom, but it's not a full presence. It's not the full reality because if we look at the scriptures seem to intimate that there are certain things that still exist in our experience that the Bible says are not going to exist in the fullness of the kingdom. And so after the millennium, whatever time period that is, postmillennial and amillennial both take the view that it's not a literal thousand years. In their, I think probably postmillennialism might have started out with a thousand year view, like
But since more than a thousand years has gone
right,
by.
Right, right, right. You've got to adjust. When 1001 started, right, you're right. You know, we got to
and
readjust.
Then in contrast to that, the premillennialists have a tendency to be kind of, you know, doomsday. That's where you see it. They're looking for headline stuff like, oh, see these terrorist attacks. That's a sign that things are getting worse and they're going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. And they're going to get so bad that God's going to rescue his people out of that. And that's where the pulling the people out before the tribulation starts and all that comes. Now, I think we've kind of hashed most of that out well enough. If you want to learn more, there are previous faith debate shows that have talked about eschatology and millennial views and stuff. You can go find those in the audio vault on WFMD.com if you want, or there's plenty of books out there. Maybe Rethinking Revelation has an episode or two on this issue. I don't know, but where do we all stand? Jace, I'm guessing you're all millennial, but I don't know if I'm guessing right.
Yeah, that's a good guess.
Okay.
Yeah. My teacher, well, interesting, we all have similar backgrounds in where we're coming from, but my teacher explained this hope of the kingdom. He had an I and a C and a C. I'm sure some people remember that. Yeah, I got smiles around here. No, not for you, huh? The ICC, the inauguration, the continuation, and the consummation. So it's not, you know, we're waiting for this great day of the Lord to come back, and we expect that Jesus is the one. And Paul would say, yes, but it's, this kingdom is bigger. It's elongated. It's not the way you expected it specifically. There's this, yes, Jesus is the king. He's crowned in his death and resurrection, specifically his resurrection, his ascension. The idea of an ascension is that he has been raised to the right hand of God. So he's been inaugurated as king. But then there's this long phase, this continuation phase, which is a nice, easy way to put it, that we're all in right now. And it could be 2,000 years. And I remember my teacher saying it could also be a million, billion years. So we don't, you know, it's imminent in the sense that it could be, but it's not. It might also be thousands upon thousands more years. We're not in the very end.
Or the very end of the show.
Yeah, I saw that. See, I saw that look that you gave me. So,
well, okay. we're going to find out what Travis thinks next time. So you're going to have to wait 167 and a half hours for the answer to that one. I know you won't sleep for a week now waiting. Thank you so much, Travis Finley, Jace Broadhurst. I'm Troy Skinner. We want to thank our sponsors, Hilo Auto Sales, online at HiloAuto.com, and also Tire Pros of Frederick. Until next week, again, I encourage you to check out our podcast at WFMD.com. Tell a friend and share, and we're going to see about trying to post some of this stuff on Facebook. We're going to be catching up with the technological realities pretty soon, hopefully. Till next time, God bless.